Good morning. I'm Tom Pelton, Director of Communications for the Environmental Integrity Project. We're a 19-year-old nonprofit, nonpartisan organization based in Washington, D.C. and Austin, Texas, dedicated to enforcing environmental laws and strengthening public policy to protect human health and the environment. Today, we're holding an online press conference about a petition that 21 environmental and environmental justice groups today filed with EPA to take over and repair Texas's broken system of issuing permits to control water pollution, which has made it too easy for industries to contaminate waterways across the state. We're gonna have 8 speakers, and then we're gonna take questions from reporters. Our first speaker is going to be Ilan Levine, Texas Director of the Environmental Integrity Project. Why don't you go ahead, Ilan?
Thanks, Tom. Quick thumbs up if you can hear me okay. Thank you. Ilan Levine, Environmental Integrity Project. I'm an attorney and I am in Austin, Texas. 50 years ago, Congress passed the Clean Water Act. And the goal of the Clean Water Act is to make our nation's waterways fishable and swimmable by the mid-1980s. Today, we have in Texas almost 10,000 miles of rivers and creeks, 590,000 acres of surface waters, lakes and ponds, and 1,248 square miles of our coastal estuaries that are considered impaired or too polluted to meet that 50-year-old national goal. The problem is not with the law. We've got good laws on the books. Problem in Texas is that our state seems unwilling to faithfully enforce the Clean Water Act. The US EPA delegates to the states the job of implementing the Clean Water Act, of enforcing the national clean water law. And Texas has been given that job by EPA, and Texas fails to adequately implement the federal law. So you're gonna hear some more details in a minute, but I just wanna highlight quickly what are the two main issues that we're raising in our petition to EPA today. The first issue is this. If a polluter wants to add pollution to a waterway, so somebody wants to build a new highway, a new strip mall, a new development, or somebody wants to build a new power plant or a new factory or a new petrochemical plant, and they're going to add new water pollution into a river, stream, or lake, or any waterway, then they, the applicant, the project developer, by law is required to prove that it's in the state's best interest, that it is in the state's economic and social interest, that it is a necessity to build that new development and put that new pollution in the waterway. And the other thing that the law requires polluters to do is before they build that highway or that new refinery or whatever, is they have to prove that there is no viable alternative to their process and to that new pollution. And that law is in place so as not to degrade our waters. And that's called the anti-degradation policy. Texas is completely failing to implement that federal requirement. And the second issue that we're raising in our petition to EPA today has to do with public participation. The law in Texas has always allowed people who are affected by pollution to have the opportunity to file comments, to get public notice, and importantly, to have a hearing in front of the decision maker, which is our Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. And in Texas, we've got state leaders and politicians who have been chipping away at that right that Texans have. People who are fishermen, recreational users of waters and streams, and many other users are being cut out of the process. The problem is not that TCEQ, that our environmental agency, lacks the expertise or the resources to correct these problems. They are one of the most sophisticated anti-pollution agencies in the country, if not the most well-resourced, well-expert resourced agencies. They have toxicologists, lawyers, modelers, water engineers, very capable of correcting these problems, but the problem is with our state leadership. The problem is with Texas politicians who are polluter friendly and are not implementing these anti-pollution policies. And so today we're asking EPA to step in and exercise its oversight to make sure that Texans are protected and that our waters are protected. Thank you so much. I look forward to the Q&A.
Thanks. That was Ilan Levine, the Texas Director of the Environmental Integrity Project. Next speaker will be Eric Allman. His name is spelled A-L-L-M-O-N. He's an environmental attorney with Perales, Allman, and ICE. He's an expert in environmental law that's kind of spearheading this effort. Go ahead, Eric.
Good morning, and thank you, everybody, for being here and attending. More than 20 years ago, EPA granted Texas the authority to implement the Federal Clean Water Act on the condition that Texas abide by the requirements of the Clean Water Act. Unfortunately, Texas has not complied with that condition. Instead, Texas currently administers the act in ways that result in significant harm to water quality and impede the ability of the public to participate in the regulatory process. Texas's failure to live up to its side of the bargain is why more than 20 organizations with members in broad areas of the state today petition the EPA to withdraw Texas's authority to implement the Clean Water Act unless Texas corrects its program. The goals of the Clean Water Act include the restoration and maintenance of water quality. While Texas has many waters that have been polluted, Texas also has or had many high quality waters, such as clear hill country streams and highly productive coastal estuaries that serve as the lifeblood for many areas of the state. These should be protected by an effective anti-degradation policy, which should require that the quality of these waters be maintained unless there's no alternative to pollution. Texas has failed to implement this requirement by dismissing the potential for new discharges to adversely impact water quality. In particular, Texas labels every proposed new permit to have only a de minimis impact. Texas has relied upon this fiction to justify allowing extensive damage to high quality waters with no analysis of alternatives that could have avoided that damage. Furthermore, a bedrock concept of the Clean Water Act is the public is to be entitled to play an active role in protection of water quality through participation in the permitting process. EPA has found that effective public participation requires effective opportunities for judicial review. Initially, Texas told EPA that it would provide judicial review to all persons with standing in federal court. Yet in practice, Texas courts have limited standing to be more narrow than federal standing and have imposed procedural hurdles that do not exist when the EPA is the decision maker. For example, a person who regularly fishes for sport currently in Texas has no right to fully participate in the agency permitting process as they would if EPA were issuing permits. And that person would potentially have no right of judicial review of a TCEQ permitting decision as TCEQ currently implements its program. Finally, consistent with the goals of the Clean Water Act, an applicant seeking a permit should be required to prove that they meet all regulatory requirements. Put another way, the applicant should bear the burden of proof when TCEQ decides whether to issue a permit. Yet, in making its final decision on a contested permit, TCEQ presumes that the applicant meets all regulatory requirements and places a burden on the public to demonstrate otherwise. This violates the minimum public participation requirements of the Clean Water Act. These are the particular deficiencies identified in the petition we've submitted to the EPA today. These warrant withdrawing the entirety of Texas's program to administer the Clean Water Act within the state of Texas, unless Texas acts to correct these deficiencies. When considering today's petition, we also ask that EPA perform a thorough review of the Texas program. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. That was Eric Allman, environmental attorney with Perales, Allman, and ICE. They're the group that actually filed this petition for our coalition today with EPA. Next, we're going to have Patrick Nye. His name is spelled N-Y-E. He's president of the Ingleside on the Bay Coastal Watch Association. That's near Corpus Christi. Go ahead, Patrick.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate this opportunity. My name is Patrick Nye. I live in Ingleside on the Bay, on the shores of Corpus Christi Bay. And I do serve as Ingleside on the Bay Coastal Watches Association's president. Corpus Christi Bay is in serious decline as wastewater and lost wetlands and proposed desalination will cumulatively add to the environmental degradation. Our beaches are some of the worst in Texas, polluted by fecal matter and even flesh-eating bacteria. Bacteria so high that pediatricians caution our children and our grandchildren not to swim and play along its shores, a gift we once not so long ago all enjoyed. As a fisherman and a birder, I'm concerned about another priceless loss that is occurring, the seagrass meadows. As you probably know, wetlands, including seagrasses, are the most productive ecosystems in the world. Seagrasses are the nurseries of our ocean's food chain that includes sport fish. Just 1 acre could harbor 40,000 fish and 100,000 invertebrates. Along Corpus Christi Bay, these spawning grounds are rapidly dying off, due in part to lax TCEQ permits that are allowing rapid industrial expansion, increase in wastewater discharge, dredging. Seagrass meadows are being buried with silt and allowed by the TCEQ. A third issue, and perhaps the final assault on a once thriving bay system, is desalination. Instead of utilizing groundwater, conservation, or recycling as long-term sources of water supply, incomprehensibly, desalination permits within Corpus Christi Bay are under serious consideration by the TCEQ. The proposed desalination facilities would discharge billions of gallons of toxic brine water that not only increases the likelihood of fish killing red tides, but as scientists warn, will destroy and kill sea life. Although the TCEQ is charged to protect public health and natural resources, I, for one, have lost confidence in an agency that poisons our waters with each rubber stamp permit. Today, we are witnesses of the cumulative degradation of rivers and streams that flow to our estuaries, bays, and beaches. Our beaches, now the dirtiest in Texas, our once beautiful sparkling bay is next. Who will save our waters and who will save our bays? Thank you.
Thank you. That was Patrick Nye, president of the Ingleside on the Bay Coastal Watch Association. Next, we'll have Kristen Schlemmer. Her last name is spelled S-C-H-L-E-M-M-E-R. She's the legal director and waterkeeper for the Bayou City Waterkeeper based in Houston. Go ahead, Kristen.
Hi, I'm Kristen Schlemmer. Like Tom said, I'm the legal director and waterkeeper for Bayou City Waterkeeper in Houston. And for 20 years now, Bayou City Waterkeeper has worked across the greater Houston region to protect water quality, preserve wetlands, and create resilience to flooding and climate change. Our work depends on the Federal Clean Water Act, which the Environmental Protection Agency entrusted Texas to enforce starting in 1998. And for far too long, Texas has not done its job. Texas's chief environmental regulator, the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, has played around with rules that are designed to protect our water and our health for the benefit of polluting industries and real estate developers. That's had real consequences for water and people in the Houston region. Thousands of times over the last decade, the city of Houston sent untreated sewage into our bayous and bays. Texas didn't do enough to stop it, even after Harvey destroyed sewage treatment plants and turned national attention on to our sewer problems. When Bayou City Waterkeeper sued, we prompted the EPA to step in and take charge of the problem. And a plan to address this problem was approved this year, but only after millions of gallons of sewage had been spilled in our bayous and bays over several years. This could have been avoided if Texas had been doing its job. Another problem we've had, from Lake Livingston down to Galveston Bay, the Houston region has lost thousands of acres of wetlands, which has increased flooding and led to even more water pollution for local communities. Texas could have stopped it, but they didn't. We're surrounded by water in Houston, but we can't safely swim or fish in most of our bayous. Along our coast, our beaches have been deemed not safe for swimming nearly a quarter of the year. And Sylvan Beach in Harris County is especially bad. It isn't safe for swimming 61% of the time. Again, if TCEQ and Texas had done their job for the last 23 years, we might have a different story to tell. There's time for this to change, and the petition that was filed today asks the EPA to step in and give our region and our state the clean water it needs and deserves. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Kristen Schlemmer, legal director and waterkeeper for the Bayou City Waterkeeper. Next, we'll have Alex Ortiz, water resources specialist for the Lone Star chapter of the Sierra Club. Go ahead, Alex.
Thanks, Tom, and good morning, y'all. Like Tom said, I'm Alex Ortiz. I'm the water resources specialist for the Lone Star chapter of the Sierra Club. The Lone Star chapter of the Sierra Club has been working to protect Texas water since 1965, and our membership includes over 27,000 Texans. It's on behalf of those Texans that I'm grateful to be here among these organizations joining in the filing of such an important petition. The state of Texas's attitude toward aquatic pollution has been overwhelmingly lax, despite having opportunities and obligations to do better. I sort of wanted to frame this in terms of what's going on in the state right now and what the state can do to improve these problems that we're trying to address with this petition. As some of you might know, the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality will be undergoing the sunset review process for the next year, and that will last through the 88th legislature in 2023. During a sunset review process, the Sunset Advisory Commission, which is a state agency, will partner with the state legislature along with the agencies being reviewed themselves to analyze the effectiveness and capacity of a state agency to perform its legislative charges. This process happens every 10 years for each agency, so not all agencies happen at the same time, but it's important to know that this only happens once a decade. So this provides an extremely important tool for the legislature to be able to hold agencies accountable and fix what isn't working in our state for our state. So on top of the sunset review process, TCEQ is also presently engaging in its required triennial review of surface water quality standards right now. The Clean Water Act requires that agencies with delegated authority over Clean Water Act programs like TCEQ review, revise, and submit their surface water quality standards every 3 years. So after TCEQ reviews, edits its surface water quality standards and sends them to EPA, EPA can either accept them, reject them, or something in between, requiring TCEQ make substantive changes. This process is supposed to make sure that the quality of our waters is fit for their uses and protects public health, wildlife, and the environment. Both the sunset review process and the triennial review of surface water quality standards present unique opportunities for TCEQ and the legislature to fix issues relating to public engagement and the protectiveness of water quality standards. And that includes everything from anti-degradation analyses, how waters are placed on the impaired waters lists, and how total maximum daily loads, the amount of pollution, is calculated for those impaired waters. Beyond all of that, this is a really important step for public engagement. Both the surface water quality standards review and the sunset review process do have pretty substantial public engagement components through either hearings or comments. And finally, unless the state really tackles and fixes these issues in these processes, it's so important that EPA upholds its duty to step in and protect Texans and our environment.
Thanks, that was Alex Ortiz, water resources specialist for the Lone Star chapter of the Sierra Club. Next, we'll have Lamont Taylor. His name is spelled L-A-M-O-N-T-T-A-Y-L-O-R. He's the vice president of the Hillcrest Residents Association in Corpus Christi. Go ahead, Lamont.
Thank you, Tom. My name is Lamont Taylor, and I am here today as the vice president of the Hillcrest Resident Association, a grassroots community group that seeks to protect the public health, safety, and environment, and the quality of life for residents in the Hillcrest neighborhood. I've resided in this area for over 60 years. The Hillcrest Residence neighborhood is a historically Black neighborhood along known as the Refinery Row in Corpus Christi, Texas. Hillcrest residents have a focus, a long time history of environmental racism, and surrounded by refineries, tank farms, highways, and the ship channel. We also have a history of fighting back, but we're tired of government agencies in Texas not protecting our health and safety and not following the law. Hillcrest Residents Association joined the petition to EPA because we are facing a new threat in our community in Corpus Christi Bay. The proposed Inner Harbor desalinization facility in Corpus Christi wants to relocate in our neighborhood. We are fighting the water permit for the desalinization plant because the harmful impacts that this facility will have on the bay in our community. This permit is in its early review processes at TECQ. And we are concerned that TECQ again will not do a proper anti-deregulation review and also resist in doing a meaningful public participation and judicial review of these permits. We are asking the EPA to fix Texas water permitting programs to ensure that the waterways near Hillcrest and all communities along the state are protected, and to ensure that all communities have a voice in the review process. These protections are very viable for the Clean Water Act. And we thank you for participating with us in these projects for the Hillcrest community. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Lamont Taylor of the Hillcrest Residents Association in Corpus Christi. Now we have Nick Dornack. His last name is spelled D-O-R-N-A-K. He's the president of the Friends of the Brazos River. Go ahead, Nick.
Thank you, Tom. I am Nick Dornack, president of Friends of the Brazos River. The Friends of the Brazos are celebrating 2 decades of stewardship, advocacy, and education for the Brazos River. Inspired by, and in our early days supported by, our good friend and legendary Texas author John Graves, FBR seeks to understand and protect the ecological, historical, cultural, recreation, and economic values of the Brazos River, particularly between Lakes Possum Kingdom and Whitney. Recently, the city of Granbury has applied to TCEQ for a permit to discharge up to 2 million gallons a day into a tributary of Lake Granbury and then the Brazos River. This tributary is known as Redwood Creek. The permit, as it's written, has the potential to dramatically degrade water quality. It could displace businesses due to siting concerns and odors associated with the new wastewater plant that would be constructed. It would have a major impact on property values and recreation. It does not consider the Lake Granbury Watershed Protection Plan, which was a collaborative effort done in the not too distant past to protect the water quality entering Lake Granbury. These permits, and I've seen so many of them over the years, just typically are not adequate to support the high aquatic life uses that we see still in our streams all over the state of Texas, and in particularly this stream, Rucker Creek, in the Brazos River Basin. FBR supports voluntary efforts which can be successful with proper planning and collaboration, but all too often this is not the case, as the system as it exists does not facilitate the adequate front-end work to identify best fit solutions for communities. And we've heard this throughout the press conference. From the research methods to outreach efforts employed by TCEQ, the process tips the scales dramatically toward the polluters. which, make no mistake, TCEQ is in the permit of granting permits to pollute. So how do we do a better job? And there are better ways of doing things. And that's enforcing the anti-degradation requirement of the Clean Water Act and cast a wider net to better capture the true affected parties and incentivize existing technologies for pollution mitigation and non-potable beneficial reuse. These are things that could be employed quite easily, but we do not have the political will in Texas to see this done. There are good people at TCEQ. I work with them all the time. I know many people there would like to see things done differently. However, they are working within a system, and that system is failing our rivers, it's failing our streams, and it's failing the people that love them and use them. And most importantly for me, and I know a lot of other parents out there, it's failing our kids. We need to do a better job for future generations. We need to get those kids outside. We need to get them enjoying these streams and rivers, and there needs to be something there for them to enjoy that's safe. So I hope that we can do a better job with that, and I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today.
Thanks, Nick. That was Nick Dornack from the Friends of the Brazos River. Of course, Lake Granbury is located south and west of Fort Worth. Our final speaker is coming from San Antonio, Annalisa Peace, Executive Director of the Greater Edwards Aquifer Alliance. Go ahead, Annalisa.
Hi, thank you. The Greater Edwards Aquifer Alliance is an alliance of 54 member organizations. We represent around 25,000 Texans in 21 counties in Central and South Texas. So over the past 15 years, we've been engaged in contesting more than 20 permits discharge of sewage effluent directly into the Texas Hill Country's pristine waterways. And we are usually contacted by citizens who are concerned about these discharge permits because of the impact it has on the streams that they enjoy, but also on the wells that they use for their personal water supplies. So the reason the Aquifer Alliance gets involved is that many of these streams are major recharge features for the Edwards Aquifer, which 2 million people in Central Texas rely on for their primary source of water. In many of these cases, I mean, people have to raise their own money to contest these permits. So citizens have raised hundreds of thousands of dollars to go through this process. In at least two instances, the administrative law judges ruled that the permits should be denied, yet on a vote of the three Texas Environmental Quality Commissioners who are appointed by the governor, they voted to go ahead and grant those permits anyway, despite the fact that judges had ruled in one case that the permit would actually constitute a taking of the use and enjoyment of one of the contested parties' property. So we think it's really shameful that individual Texas citizens should have to enter into a long drawn, often and very expensive process in order to protect their water resources. And so we're calling on the EPA to actually get Texas to enforce regulations that are adequately protective of our water. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Annalisa Peace, Executive Director of the Greater Edwards Aquifer Alliance based in San Antonio. Now we've heard from voices all over Texas. Now we're going to hear from some reporters who want to ask questions of our panel. If you're a journalist and you'd like to ask a question, raise your hand and I will unmute you and you can fire away. Any questions from reporters? Rachel Clow, and I'm going to unmute you.
Thank you so much. I'm with Chris Six News in Corpus Christi. As you may or may not be aware, the EPA sent a letter to TCEQ and the Port of Corpus Christi notifying them that it was withdrawing its permit waiver on its Harbor Island desal application. One of the reasons was the EPA was notified that the application was classified as minor. Can you kind of give me, you know, this timing seems a bit coincidental. EPA notified them that they were going to review this Harbor Island desal permit. Is there any reason this is being held today specifically? And kind of comment on that withdrawal of the permit waiver by the EPA.
I wonder if either Eric Allman or Patrick Nye or Lamont Taylor has any thoughts about that.
I can offer some comment, then if Patrick or Lamont want to add, that's fine. No, the nearness in time of the two is a coincidence. The petition in this matter, you'll see, it's more than 300 pages long, and it's got a lot of very, very researched legal argument that's been under development for a long time. And so certainly the fact that that EPA letter was sent 2 days ago, this is not a response to that letter. But the Harbor Island permit, and in full disclosure, our law firm represents some of the parties that are protesting that permit. It raises some of the issues that are addressed in this petition. For instance, our petition complains that Texas categorizes every discharge as being de minimis. The port's application for the Harbor Island permit will discharge 96 million gallons a day of hypersaline brine into a sensitive estuary area there near the Corpus Christi Bay. And yet TCEQ has categorized that not only as minor, but it said that the impact of that discharge would be de minimis, barely noticeable. If you discharge 96 million gallons a day of hypersaline brine into a sensitive estuary, you're going to see an impact. Something is going to happen. And so this should be recognized as not de minimis, and that would trigger an alternatives analysis, whereas one would look at whether that discharge was necessary for important economic or social development. And that would encompass looking to see whether there are alternatives to the discharge, such as placing the discharge more out into an open ocean discharge and avoiding the bay, and whether Corpus Christi needs a desalination facility at all. So certainly this is not a response to that letter by the EPA, but the issues are in common, and we certainly appreciate EPA's willingness to step in and perform a closer review of that application.